Pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence for the fallen. Roll call.
Director Sanderson?
Here.
Director Israel, absent. Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Davis?
Here.
And Director Link is absent.
Okay, all matters of this category are considered to be consistent with the board district goals, district policies and regulations adopted and or approved by the board of directors and will be announced in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is required, items may be removed from the consent calendar and will be considered separate. One, approval of finance and audit committee meeting minutes and warrants approved by the committee April 16th, 2019. And B is the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of April 16th, 2019. Have a motion approved?
I make a motion to approve.
I second the motion.
So a motion to approve the finance and audit committee meeting and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of April 16th, 2019, made by Director Wargo, seconded by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
And Director Davis?
Aye.
Your motion passed.
Number two, warrants, none. Number three, award of contracts, none. Okay, updates. San Antonio Pass Regional Water Alliance updates by Director Davis, and there's no updates at this time. Number two, Manager's Operations Report by General Manager.
Didn't they cancel the last Alliance meeting? I think so.
Was it?
Yeah. The survey on Beacon and Main Street has finally been completed and the county has recorded the updated surveys. So I'll look into to see if the 1 year old bid on the chain link fence is still good. If not, I'll have the same guy rebid it and we'll see what his price is, the increase on the prices. Because it's been about a year. This morning, a water operator discovered another theft of a 1-inch water meter on the south easement of Bonita, just east of the Apache Trails bend. Where it used to be a lake, and that was the Robinson property. They tried stealing the hydrant, so they finally came back and took the meter. $1.50, $2.50 in brass. Tank 4, formerly the Desert Hills Premium Outlet water tank, now it's one of ours, as identified as Tank 4. We'll be having the base recon and painted next week. Backhoe training is running smooth. Morgan has shortened his time by 15 minutes digging a 10 by 12 by 5 foot deep trench. At this time, I would like to see, Chairman Link, he's obviously not here. He had a deafness family. His wife lost her father. I would like to suggest to Vice Chair Davis, if you'd like to entertain the idea of readjusting the agenda. We have Carol from Carol's Kitchen, and also Mr. Ortega from the Community Water Service System Alliance. and of course our accountant here, and we're going to do it in the same fashion to get these people out of here quicker.
Okay.
And that's my report.
So we're just going to go 1, 2, 3?
So do you like to go, Carol's Kitchen?
Carol's Kitchen. Carol's Kitchen, corporate sponsorship petition by Carol Albaugh. Board of Director, Strategic Advisor. Is that you?
I believe so. My hearing is bad, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sort of hearing everything.
Just point or just say next and I'll put it against the.
Well, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here, and especially to Mr. Louie who made this happen. My name is Carol Albaugh, but I'm not the Carol of Carol's Kitchen, okay? I am here tonight on behalf of Carol's Kitchen, which is a nonprofit agency serving the Banning, Beaumont, and Cabazon area. How many of you have heard of Carol's Kitchen?
Yep. Been there.
Okay, awesome. It's exciting because we're right next door to where two of our kitchens operate, one on Monday and then again on Thursday, I believe. So you probably have seen people coming in and out of that facility, and it's an amazing opportunity to see real life when you're there during one of the kitchens and see that food that is served. Did you all get one of these? Because if you wouldn't mind pulling that out, that would be great. This is a brand new document that we just put together. Carol's Kitchen has been around for about 20 years, actually 21 years, and this is our logo. However, we don't really put on there that we're a soup kitchen because we're really a hot lunch kitchen. We don't serve soup very often, but we do serve nutritious hot meals on a regular basis. So I'm going to refer to this as I move along. So as you can see, we're right in your backyard. We are serving the folks that you also serve. So the next slide. This is something that I've been made more and more aware of as I go through my journey with Carol's Kitchen. And what you're going to see up here does not necessarily match this. So don't think, oh man, I'm crazy, I can't see what's going on. But I am going to kind of go back and forth. In the newspaper recently, we saw that the homeless rate has gone up in San Bernardino County. And I was just at a meeting today where the Riverside report's going to be coming out. And we're not as high as some of the other regions in this area, but hunger is a real issue in this area. It's hard for us as adults to have a good meal every night and feed our families to even imagine that. But I see these folks every day, and I know that when I see they come in for lunch, it's probably the only meal they've got that day. And on your booklet, this pyramid is something that I really want you to take a look at, because sometimes I get the comment, well, you know, you just need a lunch, you know, give them housing, you know, give them rental assistance, you know, give them showers, that kind of thing. Well, when you look at this pyramid and you see this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I'm sure you all know that. But sometimes we forget that as folks that are out there struggling on a daily basis, the need for just basic services, basic human needs have to be met before you can move somebody into another level of getting on with their life. So the psychological needs, the physiological needs, where food, water, and warmth is provided, that's what we do at Carol's Kitchen. We fit into the very foundational level of the human condition, and that's where our niche seems to fit very well because it's very grassroots. One of the things nice about Carol's Kitchen is that we don't have to, or we do not comply by, you know, bureaucracy guidelines on many levels. And so because of that, we are able to serve folks at a level where they are really at. So food deprivation, and we call it food security in our world. And we've noticed that the food security issue is becoming even more prevalent in this entire area. Next one, please. Carol's Kitchen actually started by Jim and Arlene Reagan, who lost their daughter 21 years ago due to a tragic accident. She was killed by a drunk driver. The mother, Arlene Reagan, is still around and continually supports Carol's Kitchen on a regular basis. They started this very grassroots organization out of grief for their daughter. And they started out very small with 6 or 7 people coming in for food on a regular basis. And it just grew. It just happened. It morphed into something that it is today. And this is the kind of thing that Carol Reagan would have done had she been around. She was very community-minded, very interested in serving those in need in her own community. Next slide, please. This is kind of interesting because that looks a lot like what we serve today in Banning. We have 6 kitchens throughout this entire area. You know about 2 over here, 2 up in Banning at St. Kateri's Church, and 2 in Beaumont at St. Kateri's Church. And I happen to serve at the Banning Church today, and that looks a lot like the food we served. It was actually very, very good. A lot of our food is donated. We do get some leftover buffet food from Morongo. We do get some subsidies from Feeding America, and we've just joined a new collaborative down in Temecula that, you know, can give us food on a semi-regular basis. But today, and almost every day, we also had baked goods and produce to give guests. So when they left after eating, they get a bag of produce, and they can come out to the outside, and they can take any of the, today we have a lot of warm coats, donated. People in the community know that we are always giving this food away, or the clothing away, and as long as it's clean and usable, we put it out there. Serve about 25,000 meals per year, and this average is a little bit low because our numbers keep going up. And what is so amazing about our service is that nobody stands at the door and checks off, you know, do you have your social security card? Just show me your driver's license. How much income did you make? If you're there, you're hungry, we let you come in. You sit at a table just as you're sitting now. Folks, volunteers, over 130 volunteers at all 6 of our kitchens, they serve the guests. And we serve them in a restaurant style with dignity and respect. And that means so much to these folks that are most often not given that dignity and respect. Sometimes we have services that are available or referrals to them for them if they want to get referrals to some mental behavioral health services. We have a gentleman there from Inland Behavior Health who comes and will work with folks that they want to. We're trying to bring more services to our guests and provide more information to them so they can access some of the things that will help them move on in their life. Next one. Here's a picture of our kitchen. This is like right, I think this is the auditorium over here at Jane Centerville. We have 130 volunteers. There's only 2 people in our organization that is paid. We have a truck driver that's paid, and we have an executive director who runs all the kitchens. Everybody else, including myself, is a volunteer. And to me, that is amazing. Today at Banning, I must have had 20 volunteers there wanting to help. Some come on a regular basis, some come on a one-time basis. We have a 12-member board of directors, of which I am part of that. And we are an official 501c3 charity. And we do have a small warehouse that's falling apart. And it's where we store our food and some kitchen supplies. So we're a real, you know, grassroots organization here. But it is so beautiful when you see the work that we do and the people that we serve and their appreciation and the impact it makes on their lives. In your booklet, if you turn to the page where the food is on a different page, they're talking a little bit about why I'm here. And that is, we want to partner with you guys. You're the Water District. I know what the Water District does. I used to serve on the Eastern Municipal Board, Water Board up in Moreno Valley, and the work you do is amazing. I think that water is one of those basic human needs. And we are part, we are looking other, for folks like yourself to partner with Carol's Kitchen to help us continue the work that we're doing. As you can see, it takes a lot of money to do this. And right now, we do get some monthly contributions, people that have sent in, you know, their dollar bills and stuff. We do fundraisers. We're having a big bowling fundraiser in August. I write grants. Some other people write grants. We put in a few grants here and there, but, you know, we don't get any big government grants of any kind. And then we've started this corporate sponsorship program. And the corporate sponsorship program is our ask to key community partners to come on board with us and commit to different levels that where you feel like you could commit to Carol's Kitchen to serve the very people that you serve also. Right now, we've started our outreach, and we have three different community partners already, just in the short time that we've been out talking to folks, because when they hear about the work that we do, and it's right in their backyard, they're right there. For example, you all know about Robertson's Concrete facility. It's right here in your backyard. Right on board when we did this presentation, they know what goes on in this community, and they know the need. And so they stepped up to the plate. And so Molina Healthcare, they run clinics down in this area. They too have come on board. So Redlands Community Hospital comes in to help us give some shots. Again, they have some services down in this area. So today, I am here to ask the Water Board to consider being a partner with Carol's Kitchen on a yearly basis. This doesn't have to be a big chunk plucked down all at once. It could be on a monthly basis. And it could be something that you kind of figure out as a board. In return for that, we pledge to always give priority advertisement to your work and to what you do. We have a website where we're going to advertise. We also have a sponsorship board in all of our kitchens where we'll be putting signage up there. So when folks come in, they're going to see, you know, a big sign of who's supporting this effort. And more importantly, I think the best reason for you to consider that is because you understand what life-giving resource is all about. That's what you do. And this, for the folks that we serve, is a life-giving resource. I will be spending the next 6 months or so out talking to people, just like I'm talking to you now, about coming on board and taking a real look at putting Carol's Kitchen into your budget, making it something that you want to support. And I was so excited when Mr. Louis invited me here, because this is your backyard. I mean, it's like right over there is where we serve. So I'm so excited when I get to go over there and see everything. The last thing is that on the back side of this brochure, I don't know if there's any other slides here or not. I think I just told you all that. We do get a lot of, we get donated clothing, and we have food drives every once in a while too. So it's a variety of things. So you gotta remember, this is not a high management organization. We are grassroots. We're basically as community-based as you can get. And that's one of the reasons I was drawn to this organization. As you can see, I have a few years on me, and I've spent a lot of time in school districts, in state government, federal government, and I fought the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy never won. This is making a difference. It really is. It's making a difference with the people we serve. So I'm going to be out for the next 6 months or so talking to folks, trying to get people to see the big picture, and I'm hoping that you see it tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about Carol's Kitchen. Did I feel okay, Mr. Lee? Did I do okay?
Any questions? Martin?
I do.
So what other sponsors do you have? I mean, like
for the corporate sponsorship,
Beaumont already or something, or are you just starting?
We have a variety of sponsors. Now, this program just started, so I think I named some of them. We have Redlands Communities on board now, Morongo, Robertson's, and then for our other events that we do, like our bowling tournament, we get other sponsors. You know, we try to divide it up so we're not hitting the same people all the time. For our bowling tournament, we have some big sponsors. One of our biggest is Morongo. The Tribal Council is extremely supportive, and we get a lot of our food from them too. But sometimes that goes up and down too. Yes. So yes, I'm in touch with the electric company, and Southern Gas Company. There's just a lot of folks out there that I know, if they know about Carol's Kitchen and know that this is a place where your money does really go to where it's needed and not to people in other different levels, they see the big picture and they support us. Right now we are kind of food short. The donated food that we get, our cooks have to be creative and put it together. They have to be creative, so like we've got tons of yogurt that was donated to us. But it's like, what do you do with all this yogurt? You have to mix it together with other things to make a dish or something. So it takes a lot of creativity to take the donated food that we have, put it together, so you come up with a nutritional palette. We do have a warehouse where we store things when our food dries and people give us something. But you know what we need is that account. Where, oh gosh, I need chicken today. Oh, I'm gonna go Albertsons or wherever and get my chicken because I can mix that with the yogurt and other things and put together. So there's a real need for food right now.
I have a question.
Yes.
One of your supporters or sponsors, does it happen to be Set Free Christian Fellowship?
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Set Free is one of our partners. They're not a sponsor because they too are a small nonprofit like us. But Set Free is a recovery center for young men recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. And as part of their recovery program, they're required to do service work. And so we have opened our kitchen to them. They come in, they set up our tables and chairs. They help serve when the guests come in. And then at the end of the day, they break down all the tables and chairs, and they sweep and mop the entire area and help us put all of our things away. They are a godsend. I love those guys. And they're there because they have to be, but they also love being there because they love the work that they get to do. And many of them have been right where our guests are. But yes, they are a partner.
Thank you.
So I guess my last pitch to you is that on the back page, you see some numbers there. Some folks, some of our partners come in at top level. One of our $5,000 sponsors right now is Epic Management. I don't know if you recognize that name, but they're the ones that manage Beaver Clinics and many of the off-site clinics at Rice San Gregorio Hospital. They have been very generous with that. Some agencies are able to say, yes, we've got reserves, we can go ahead and do that. Others want to do it on maybe a monthly basis, where your contributions are kind of given over slowly over the year. So it's pretty much what you think you would be able to do. And we'd love to have any one of you, or all of you, come over and serve at one of our kitchens. It's right next door. We'll put you to work.
Is there an age restriction on that?
Yes, there is. But with special arrangements, we can let a group of younger kids come in, but it's a more managed group. For example, I have a group of Girl Scouts right now. They did a cookie drive, and they raised money for our organization as their service project. So they're going to present the money to the group one day. But to do that, they want to come in and serve, too. Well, obviously, they're going to have a lot of adult supervision, and they'll only be restricted to certain things they can do. But we wanted to give them the experience. So to answer the question is, that's a special circumstance. Other volunteers have to be at least 18. If you are not 18, let's say a 16-year-old comes in, you gotta get your parent's signature. And the parent has to okay that you're gonna be there and you're gonna be serving food and you're gonna be around, you know, people that are needy. And sometimes that can present issues. We had one today, we had a gentleman that shouldn't have been there and we had to escort him off. So there's situations like that. And that's my bonus point.
So it's basically an open...
We have a forum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a forum, but we don't have two other directors here.
We're missing two of our directors.
Yeah.
Oh, you're missing two folks.
It's very unusual. Is anybody ready to go for a mouth? Because I'm not.
I would like to thank Todd. I love the organization. I would like
I
to
too.
Talk about it and maybe
table it. I hate to do this to you, but I move that we table it until next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then we'll have hope that we'll all.
Would you like me to come back next month?
If you're available.
Hey, I will make myself available.
I can give you the date, but
okay.
Yeah, I move that we table it till next month.
Happy to do that. I understand.
June 18th is the next
June
18th.
So then we need, yeah.
If I cannot be here that date, I have somebody else who can, and they may do a whole different presentation, but
that's
you know,
fine.
Save labor.
June
18th. I will communicate with Mr. Louie and make sure that I'm here or somebody is here from our organization.
So we need to vote, right?
No?
I can put a consensus on the board.
Yes.
To table.
Yeah.
I think it would be fair to you and your organization to do good work. Okay?
Thank you.
Just
thank you very much. Okay, I'll see you on June the 18th, or if not, just somebody else, right? But thank you very much for letting me take some of your time, and thank you for all the great work you do for the people of this area. Thank you.
Does your phone number get a hold of somebody there? Whatever,
actually, that is not my phone number. That is our executive director. But I will leave some cards, and it has my phone number on it.
Okay.
And if you can think of anybody else that would like to hear this presentation, and you think might be interested in being one of our sponsors,
okay.
Please let me know. I'm just so passionate about the work that's being done here and see the value in it. So
I was just thinking about volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
Help, you know.
A volunteer, you mean folks you think that might want a volunteer?
Well, I'm involved with Special Olympics.
Oh, great.
And that would be a good thing for them to come down here and maybe volunteer.
Absolutely. You know, we have a special group from the Mentor Collaborative over in Yucaipa. They're part of Cole Vocational Services. And those are folks that are adults, and they have physical and mental challenges, and they come into our kitchens twice a month. And they're limited in what they can do, but we actually give them a lot of work. For example, what they do is they take the forks and knives and wrap them in napkins for us, twist them and put them in a container so our napkins and forks and spoons are ready to go. And then they also wash off all of our chairs and tables for us. So we put them to work, we use anybody that comes because the need is there and people enjoy doing the work.
Okay, I'll get a hold of you as director or somebody.
Awesome. That is super. Oh, great, great. And let me see if I've got some cards here. I'll leave them with you. And if you've got something special you'd like to help coordinate, I'm able to do that for you.
And your name is?
I'm Carol Albaugh.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
Carol
I'm sorry.
Albaugh.
I think I said that
no,
at the beginning, but you don't have it in writing. Let me see.
It's on this right here.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
My brain.
No, that's okay. I just have to tell people I'm not the Carol of Carol's Kitchen.
No.
So, anyway,
thank
I will
you.
Get a card. Thank you, guys.
Thank you
so much.
You want to go with number two here first?
Yes.
Doctor and a physical. We'll go with Mr. Taylor.
Good evening, members of the board. Vice Chair Davis. This is my second visit, and I know that I've had an opportunity over the last 6 months to visit with several members of the board in Sacramento, and then of course out here in Cabazon last week when we were together for a workshop that included the Community Water Systems Alliance and the California Association of Mutual Water Companies. It's interesting that I'm here discussing something kind of related to what Ms. Elba just discussed. You know, in our society, we consider food to be a sacred trust in the special covenant that we have in our society not to tax basic food products. And yet, what brought me here in January was a proposal that would require you to tax the water you serve in people's homes. And we've made progress that I'd like to report to you on, given the activities of some of the members of your board and, of course, your general manager who have traveled to Sacramento, who have stood through endless public hearings with hundreds of people there, as well as gone on marathon visits to visit legislators. So I want to give you three of our accomplishments so far. So when we came into this, there were proposals that would result in a meter tax that would range from $1 to up to $10 per meter. I know that you and others that were active with us wanted to prevent this. In that, we also had a proposal that would have resulted in using some of the state budget surplus to establish a trust fund to deal with the chronically failing water systems in California. The Community Water Systems Alliance and the calls that we had basically came up with the position that it didn't make much sense to either do the trust or the tax because there hadn't been a needs assessment conducted to understand how much money was actually needed for these systems that are failing. And in fact, the state still has to deliver, the State Water Board, a needs assessment to determine how much they really need. What we proposed at the Alliance was to come up with a seed funding approach that could be adjusted when the needs assessment is done. We know that there's systems, we know which, there's about 30 systems in California that are about to fail. We know that already. And we don't have to go and tax everybody in order to fix those systems. You could do that with money from the general fund. And so we prevailed. I know Alan was there, or Director Davis was there, when we met with several members of the Senate who basically took our approach to heart. So last week, the state Senate passed a bill that's going to the Assembly that would allocate about $140 million, $150 million a year out of the general fund to deal with some of the worst systems that are out there. And they could revoke that depending on the needs assessment or reduce it depending on if the legislature ever puts their mind around a fee that they could get two-thirds on. It's a compromise, and it's sausage making in Sacramento. What's going to happen is that proposal is going to the Assembly. The Assembly has a counter proposal where they want to basically assess a fee through the State Water Board. You pay an annual fee to the State Water Board. They want to increase what you pay as part of that fee in order to do the same thing. We've argued that, for example, in the discussion about the tax, they had talked about exempting disadvantaged communities. And so we've been raising those concerns in the Assembly that if they pass that fee through the State Water Board, that we want systems such as yours exempt from having to pay because you do serve a disadvantaged community. So that's the status. The other accomplishment we have is that one of the themes that we developed is that the current proposals are a race to the bottom. Because it takes care of systems that are chronically failing, but what about the new regulations that are very expensive to comply with? What happens when a system that's currently operating well can't afford to meet the new standard, as we had many systems proclaim during the setting of the standard for hexavalent chromium? We want to prevent the race to the bottom, so we want the State Water Board to consider that when they're setting up new regulations. And there's a variety of ways that they can do it. For example, they can have a compliance assistance program where they line up the monies that they already have available through the various water bonds and the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Fund to help such systems. But they have, our argument is they should have it ready when they enact the new regulations so nobody falls to the bottom. The other alternative is simply to delay the enforcement of a new standard until that time that disadvantaged communities have had the ability to figure out how they're going to comply with the standard. And so those things are in play. I want to say that in the assembly under AB 134, we were successful at getting that in there. Right now, it's subject to debate in the Senate, so things are going to get amended. It's not going to be a straight through process. But there's also another provision that we had included, which basically stipulates that the needs assessments should be done locally, that it ought to be done through the branch offices of the Division of Drinking Water in cooperation with the water agencies that they help monitor and serve, so that these needs assessments are low to the ground, addressing the needs in each area of the state, so that all the money just doesn't go to one part of the state that we've been arguing is not ideal. So we got those amendments in AB 134. Our challenge in June, and we're trying to figure out when in June, will be to try to keep that going. So now we have to persuade the Senate to adopt what the Assembly passed in terms of the how you execute these assistance programs. And then we have to convince the Assembly to adopt the general fund approach dealing with this issue of chronically failing systems. So that's the status of our issues. Also, one other, we do have, I know we keep saying this, but the State Water Board keeps threatening that they're going to release the economic feasibility guidelines that came out of the validation of the hexavalent chromium standard. And we're going to have to comment on that. We're going to have to show up and basically say that we want there to be a discernible benefit, you know, for whatever standard they have, given the high cost of compliance. You know, they said 10 parts per billion during the last go-around before the invalidation. Some systems were going to pay as much as $5,000 per connection a year to comply with that standard, which is clearly unaffordable. So where are we in terms of membership in the alliance? You were actually the last board I met with in January, you know, prior to us going into full legislative mode. I'm about to go on the road again, so in a way you're the first, you know, agency that I'm meeting with in the next round of recruitment that we're doing for the alliance. So far, we have about 16 entities stretching from the Inland Empire to Kern County. We also are up in San Luis Obispo. Amongst those that are that I'm going to be meeting with here in the next month include the city of Watsonville and the city of Coachella, San Bernardino Water District that's part of the municipality, and a few others. So in the paper that I asked the general manager to distribute, you'll see what the proposed schedule for the participation levels are. I think you fit under tier number four, if I'm correct. And that's $1 million up to $3.9 million is revenue, is tier number four. But in the list of entities that I've given you, you also have some that have an asterisk. And those with the asterisk are the members of the steering committee. And those are the entities that have contributed $10,000 or more. The only thing that happens when you contribute $10,000 or more is that you know, you basically are the fiduciary actors here that are making sure that all of our expenses are approved, you know, before we go to account mutuals for payment of the bills. Of the $60,000 that we budgeted in the last 5 months, we've spent only $20,000. And we have about $40,000 in addition to that in reserves. At some point, we're going to gather the steering committee to decide at the end of the legislative session in September whether you want to go another year, whether we call it quits, whether you want to start your own association where you have your own nonprofit and you have your own executive director. You know, there's a variety of things that you can decide to do collectively across the state. But I want to go back to where we began. In January when I came here, I said that the reason we needed you is because, as many of you saw, as some of you saw in Sacramento, the people that are in Sacramento speaking on behalf of disadvantaged communities are not people that were elected by the residents who live in these disadvantaged communities. It's nonprofits that mean well, that basically want what we all want in terms of safe drinking water, but our point to the members of the alliance is that you run you do a lot to run a good water system, to make sure that you're meeting all the standards, and you're doing it despite the limitations that other communities experience. You're good managers, you have good fiduciary skills and limiting costs. I wouldn't be here for the second time if you weren't being diligent. And so our belief is that people like yourselves that were elected by the residents in disadvantaged communities need to be there speaking for yourselves, representing your constituents. Now, many communities do that, and you can, as I mentioned before, you can go hire your own lobbyists, and it's going to cost a lot more, but that's just the way the world works. What we wanted to do was create a platform that was more affordable to the communities and the water districts that we're working with. And by any standard, this is much more affordable, no matter how you do this. And so with that, I'd like to answer any questions.
I have a question, Mr. Galvin. Do we have 860 ratepayers? Is that what we have?
856.
856. Exactly. Okay. And is this 2,500? Is that an annual fee?
It's not an annual fee.
It's just
it's a one time. What's going to happen is this: everybody comes in this one time. The reason we're doing this is because we had some water districts approach us, and they said, we want to try this out, and then we want to figure out if we want to keep it going. So it's a one-time fee that you would pay. In September, we're going to have everybody that paid in get together, and you're going to decide if you want to do another year. There may be some money left in the bank. You might decide that you want, that we have enough money to do something when the legislature reconvenes in January. You will make the strategic decision. You know, this is not intended to be a moneymaker for myself and my company or Cal Mutuals. This is meant to simply provide a less expensive vehicle for people that have never hired a lobbying firm or who have never used lobbyists to kind of get into the game and see if it's something that's to your benefit.
Again, that number, please.
856.
Okay, thank you. I will report to Sarah. I'm going to report to you. I was at the thing on Friday, and I'm hard to impress, but I was impressed. They did a good job. They do a good job. And they asked me at the time what I thought, one way or another. But after looking at the facts and figures and getting information here from Calvin, I was on the fence, and I was, but I'm no longer on the fence.
I know. My initial concern was coming in at that $10,000 level because of all the extra costs we would accrue traveling. Traveling to the park as well, that's a flight, right? You guys flew up anyway, right? So those are my initial concerns. I like the organization. I think what it's doing is good. I'm sorry I couldn't be on Friday because we were in dread. But my recommendation would be to come in at the tiered level. And then if we're at that tiered level, we're still allowed to go to Sacramento.
Go to Sacramento anytime. What we do, though, is that we support you with talking points. We make the appointments with the legislators. You know, we will convene calls when there's big decisions to be made. And so you would be involved in that. What may happen, though, is that once the big decisions are made, and say there's some fast decision that has to be made within those parameters, then the steering, we would go to the steering committee just to save time to be able to react. And that's what the steering committee does. But ultimately, you would know everything that's going on.
And for the time being, the bylaws, if we were in this for a while and we said, okay, well, maybe we do want, maybe that's something we do want to get into and be part of these decisions, we could then buy up at that point. I mean, as the way that you're, the board set it up right now, and they can change that at any time, but as it stands right now, I think I would be okay going at this level, at the tier level.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's all right.
At the, yeah, the 2500 level. And,
I did a had 861, but it's less than $3 a meter. It's less than $3 a meter per year.
Well, it's not per year, it's
all
time.
Okay, that's what it,
but if we kill the water tax,
right. and it would be right. Right, and on the plus side, not only that, there are several other things that you all talk about.
That's right.
And they're on it. So.
But what we would like to do with the Alliance, for example, I mean, I didn't talk about it last time I was here. Our members, the mutual water companies, were basically thrown out of Aqua back in 2007, so they couldn't get the Aqua insurance anymore. So we created what we call the Joint Powers Risk Insurance Authority, and we generate revenues from the sales of the insurance to put back into technical assistance to our smaller members. Currently, we have programs where we offer, for example, continuing education credits for operators for any systems that either buy our insurance or have less than 500 connections, and it's free. And that saves, you know, hundreds of dollars every year to some of our members. We also are doing, for example, SB 998. I invite you next week, we're having a webinar on the implementation of SB 998. This is a new law that was passed that makes it more difficult for you to shut somebody off who hasn't paid their bills. And there's some very specific things you have to do when you're going to shut somebody's bill or somebody's meter off for non-payment. And so we're trying to bring information in a practical way to our members and also to the smallest systems in the state.
Yep. I can send you the information. And we are a member of J. Prima.
Yep.
And I believe, if I recall, when we switched, we saved quite a bit of money moving to J. Prima. Yep. That insurance for workers' comp and general liability.
Yep. And the 998, is that what it is? You'd be interested in what they're talking about. Yeah. We're talking, I don't know. Maybe socialism, I don't know what you want
to call it. Well, the other thing we're monitoring, if I may, Mr. Vice Chair, is we're also working on DB 401. DB 401 was enacted in 2016. It requires the State Water Board to come up with a low-income rate assistance program. And part of what we're doing, it's just like some people get them on their power bills, for example. But it's a $600 million need. And so there's been discussion about passing a meter tax to pay for that. And so we're on the task force. So far, the way the board is thinking they might finance it is through a bottled water tax and a 0.25% tax on incomes above $1 million. We'll see if that goes. But, you know, we're in on that. And the idea for us is to, you know, bring the voices of communities like yours that are right in the middle of all this. You have a lot of people out there that may benefit from program. But then if the program is implemented in a way that increases your cost of operation, it might do more harm than good. So having your voice in there is really important.
Why don't we couldn't have a low income plan?
Not right now?
Yeah.
Prop 218.
Our poverty rate is above 40%.
Yeah, but we can't have it because of that we're not incorporated.
Yeah. I understand that part. But the other just commented on that ultimately I think it would save us money. That's my position.
Yeah, one of the things we're talking about in EB 401, for example, is the program has to be administered by a third party, because for you to take money from some ratepayers to give to another ratepayer could be a violation of Prop 218. So the money would have to be raised by the state. And one of the programs you're talking about would be working with maybe the food bank, you know, with this Carol's Kitchen, so that if somebody's about to lose their water service, basically they would act as the intermediary that would pay the bill, and then the state would pay that. So you still get the bill. You don't have to shut off service. Just a few things.
You still concerned about the money for traveling and everything?
I'm still concerned about the travel fees, and I'm still concerned about, I mean, we just raised our rates, and, you know, we got the budget we're looking over, and that's my big concern, to raise rates at this tier. And I just want to be smart about that, because we are over 40% extremely.
Yeah, I got the stuff right here.
Yeah.
44%, 44.4%.
So I think you said it back in January, and I think I saw it in the paperwork, but not this one, a different one, that CalMutual will help in the travel fees maybe or something, or,
no, well,
or is it for disadvantaged?
What we did is we realized that there, I mean, you know, you're, I know you struggle because you're serving primarily a disadvantaged community.
Yeah.
Highly disadvantaged community. There are systems in the state, very small systems, that are well operated, but they're 100% disadvantaged, if not severely disadvantaged. And they could not even think about donating $2,500. But there are cases when having them testify in Sacramento would be very valuable. And so we have a modest travel fund that we that the CWSA people said they wanted to use some of the money for. To help in such cases where there's somebody that's coming from a system that can't afford it, but they feel strongly enough that they want to go and support what we're doing. We haven't done it yet for anybody, by the way.
No, because at this point, we're one of the big guys.
Yeah.
We're tier four.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, really.
Yeah, we're one of the big guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as far as an operational thing, that would probably do is that might, as far as operational, from our perspective, maybe we can come up with an idea of how many meetings we can go to per year, because there were the one meeting, it cost $1,700 for two board members, and then so I came up with $2,500. So is there anything in here that would be acceptable, one meeting a year or something like that? Because that's the $2,500.
That's why I think that instead of the 10,000, because then what would cost in travel fees, but.
Yeah, and if I may represent, it may not always have to be Sacramento. Like, for example, when we do the economic feasibility guidelines meetings, those are probably the entire part. So it's not like you're going to have to fly all the time.
Well, I know that one of the directors who's not here has a strong opinion on this. Do you want to relay that?
The director Israel, who wasn't able to attend tonight's meeting, but is usually present during our board meetings, she did state, and Sarah was present, so was Cindy and Calvin, that she, from what she's seen, heard, and dealt with, she was for this, but for the $10,000 commitment.
She said the same thing. I don't. She didn't give me an amount.
I think we all understand that.
So she's favorable, but we can't vote for her. But I don't want to.
Do you want to make a decision on this? Or do you want to table it? Do you want to make any decision?
If we can vote for it and decide what travel restrictions, if any, financially, you know, an amount that's acceptable to you, then I think we should vote on it. I know that sounds funny.
Yeah. Maybe just one person more instead of two, and you change out.
It's nice for two.
Can I make a motion and then put it on the agenda next time to talk about travel fees for this, like what our cap would be?
Yeah, as long as there's a consensus of this board.
Is there? For travel fees only, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. If we pass.
Okay, all right. So I move that we go with the tier 4, $2,500 for CalMutual. Sorry. I moved that. Did that make most
sort of
motion?
On, that will have, does that have to be part of the motion that we'll talk about that next time?
Well, you and I will agree.
This Community Water Service Alliance.
Community.
Water Systems Alliance.
Community Water Assistance Alliance.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, can, do we need a motion to put that on the agenda for next time, or?
So right now I have a motion made by Director Sanderson to proceed with the one-time payment commitment to
right.
Community Water System Alliance for
right.
the $2,500. I need a second for that.
Let's finish this.
If you want a different motion, I needed an amended motion.
Okay. And I'm on board with you on that part.
Okay. Can I make an amendment to that motion that
as long as
we put it on the agenda to have discussion about the travel cap.
Can that be part of it?
We could put that. That can also be part of the budget discussion, which I think is going to be tabled till next month.
Oh, okay.
But we are going to discuss it right after this.
We are going to discuss it right after.
I think you understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cindy's
living.
That's the job.
No, I don't.
I do.
Oh,
it's all her deal.
So it's discussion regarding the travel arrangements, the amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, amounts.
It just
so we need a second.
Yeah, somebody needs a second.
I first would do.
I'll second.
Okay.
Chris and Davis. Okay. So we have an amended motion by Director Wargo to support the commitment of Tier 4 $2,500 payment for the Community Water System Alliance. We will discuss the Cabazon Water District Board Director's travel arrangements, expenses, next. And then second by Director Davis. So Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you very much. And I was telling my sister, you guys, good work.
Thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't make up Friday.
It's okay. We'll get you next time.
I'll just call you the band next time.
Send you the second one over.
Oh.
It is a good dinner. It's our lunch. The lunch is very good. Best coffee in town.
Thank you, Mr. Ortega.
I've never eaten air fried chicken.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, yeah, it was very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. See you. Have a good time.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Can we?
Point of privilege.
Are you on point of privilege?
Senior advice.
Yeah. Okay. 1 hour.
No, I'm just.
No, I like that word.
Okay. And then we're going to get to Cindy.
I'm going
to
go out.
We're going to zip right through this, Cindy?
No, we'll make it quick with that whole
Ellie's got to get home, you know?
I just didn't want to drive home in the dark in this wind.
Do you want to go now?
I got an extra room at the house.
Okay.
I kind of do, because I have to go up the pass. And this, I've never seen wind like this.
You want to?
I got it.
Okay.
You going to leave?
Yeah, I got to drive up the pass, and it's getting dark.
And it's windy. It's the wind.
Oh, so should we just...
Are you going to table it?
No, she can go through it. You're going to have it next month.
Yeah.
So if you have something you need from me next month, I mean, if it...